From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. The current U.S. Army is one of the most battle-hardened in the nation's history. The Army may also be at the breaking point. 7 years of war in Afghanistan and Iraq have taken a toll on troops, on tanks and trucks, and on the Army's leaders. All this week, we'll be examining the state of the Army. Today, NPR Pentagon correspondent J.J. Sutherland reports on how soldiers train and whether by preparing to fight the last war, they'll be ready for the next war. He went looking for answers at the Army's premier training ground.
As the troops start their day, the sunrise casts light across more than 1,000 square miles of sand and rocks and dust. This is the National Training Center. It sits high in California's Mojave Desert. From the sky, the landscape seems almost empty. The occasional patrol raises plumes of dust that hang suspended in the dawn air, a still life of brown cloud and blue sky. But not too many years ago, hundreds of tanks rumbled through this open desert. Massed artillery boomed.
The center of gravity of our enemy then was mechanized forces, his artillery, and it was pure force on force.
Lieutenant Colonel Steve Smith was here a decade ago. He's an artillery officer, the branch of the Army known as the King of Battle.
It was purely our Army and our Air Force is going to destroy your Army and your Air Force and your equipment, and when we do that, we win and we go home.
Now Smith is back at the National Training Center, preparing for a very different kind of war. Where there used to be 10 massive tank exercises each year, now there are none. Instead, the Army has built a little piece of Afghanistan. In this exercise, one of Colonel Smith's small combat outposts has just come under attack from the Taliban, mortars and machine guns.
Roger, counter fire at grid location.
Smith is with the 25th Infantry Division. He's commander of Task Force Steel. That's about 800 soldiers. He's leading his troops from a tactical operations center, or TOC, a couple of miles from the fight.
We have a total of 6 USWIA and 6 enemy KIA at this time. Over.
6 wounded Americans and 6 enemy killed. At the command post, about a dozen men sit at 2 rows of tables. Computers and radios are scattered about. The soldiers talk with each other and other units over the internet in a special chat room called the Jabber. Sometimes, Colonel Smith just uses his cell phone.
Hey, is anybody on the radio down there, on the rehab? Okay, hey, that rehab down there, imagine that it's a 105-millimeter howitzer and you're the section chief, okay? When we get in contact, you are on the frickin' weapon system, okay?
In this kind of warfare, the radio is your most powerful weapon. Okay. Colonel Smith wants it to be second nature for his troops. When you make contact with the enemy, get on the local airwaves. The idea is to get the message out that the enemy Taliban are the problem.
The center of gravity now is the people, so we have to think and be a lot smarter in how we do business and understand not only their culture, but their problems, their issues, and how we can best help them solve those problems and issues and not so much concentrated on destroying enemy forces.
Smith says that change wasn't easy for him or for the Army.
If you were to ask me 5 years ago, I would say absolutely, it's a hard switch to make. But I think now, 5 years into it, it's not so hard to make. I think we've been down the road enough times, we have enough deployments, and speaking for myself, I know I have, to make that switch.
That switch has sparked a debate inside the Army over what missions it can perform and how it should train its soldiers. The training lately is all about counterinsurgency. Some in the Army are wondering if the pendulum has swung too far.
We obviously can't go back to the extreme we were in 2003, where the force knew virtually nothing about advising and counterinsurgency and all these other things, but we also can't go to a force where if a tank division's needed someday that nobody knows how to defend, attack, and move to contact anymore.
That's Major Neil Smith. I met him 1,500 miles from the NTC in a quiet office at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, the heart of the Army's educational system. Major Smith is the operations officer of the Army and Marine Corps Counterinsurgency Center. He teaches people how to fight the kind of wars we're in now, in Iraq and Afghanistan. But even he worries about what today's soldiers are not being taught, how to fight a classic ground war.
The risk we run as a force is we have a generation of officers that will have spent 5-6 years and never have done their conventional competency. And that if we were expected on short notice at this point to fulfill that conventional competency, we would struggle very hard to do it as well as we did in 2003 during the attack to Baghdad.
The problem, there simply isn't enough time to teach people how to fight both conventional and unconventional wars. The soldiers are simply at war too much. Troops now only have about 12 months between deployments. Lieutenant General William Caldwell runs the Combined Arms Center for the Army. He oversees 18 different schools and training centers, including the NTC.
The reality is we really only have enough time to prepare soldiers for the next mission that they're about to face. Then, as time permits, we in fact will ensure that we operate across the whole continuum of intensity of operations.
The Army says they won't be able to really begin training for all kinds of warfare until 2010 at the earliest. So for now, the focus is on hearts and minds, not tanks and artillery. Flying over the National Training Center, it could be Afghanistan. The rocks are the same. The mountains look the same. The dust, that ever-present talcum-fine powder that gets into everything, that's the same too. Helicopters are loaded up with water and food and ammo, even howitzers. They're lifting supplies to remote bases in the mountains. In Afghanistan, Lieutenant Colonel Steve Smith's task force will be spread out in small bases too, with just a few dozen troops in each. The soldiers will operate near Afghan villages. To get the troops ready, the NTC has built a dozen towns in the California desert. One of them is called Medina Wassel. It's Hollywood's version of an Islamic village, but it does the trick. There's a mosque, a market, a battered hotel, even a butcher shop. They're made out of shipping containers, but plastered with authentic-looking brick and concrete. It's here that Lieutenant Eric Hall is learning counterinsurgency. His patrol found a bomb on a market street. Good job, he thought. Then he tried to convince the local shopkeepers to stay away from it.
Do you understand the danger from this bomb on the street? The bomb could still hurt you from where it is.
He said, I don't care, they want to die, so I just...
You said that?
Yeah.
Lieutenant Hall is coming to appreciate just how complicated and frustrating the art of irregular warfare can be. For now, it's the only thing the Army is teaching. J.J. Sutherland, NPR News.
Tomorrow we'll visit West Point, where the Army's next generation learns about fighting insurgencies from peers.
One of my classmates actually has a combat jump. Another one that has a Purple Heart, and pretty sure he told me he still has shrapnel from it in his shoulder. So they're kind of quiet about it, to be honest.
Tune in tomorrow for that story. This is NPR, National Public Radio.